So good to see you this morning. But with no further ado, we have a special guest this morning. So if Nolan will come and prepare, Nolan's going to share a word with us this morning that he shared with me already a couple times. And it's a great, great word. And I really want to encourage you, if you have a piece of paper, a pencil, or if you want to open up maybe a notepad on your phone, that would be cool too. But there's just some really good thoughts that Nolan wants to share with us this morning that I guarantee you we're all going to be challenged by. It's been very challenging for me this week to hear what Nolan's talking about, because this, what he's talking about today, is so unlike me, but I need this in my life. So with no further ado, let's put our hands together and let's welcome Nolan this morning. Nolan, thank you for being here.
Well, good morning, Journey Church family. I'm so happy to be with you guys here in person. Come on, I got my little preaching section right there. But welcome to everyone watching online. We got people in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and the 305 Miami. Let's go. But if you're watching from River Falls, drop your address. I'm kidding. Don't do that. That's creepy, Nolan. But shout out to my family. I love you guys in Ohio. I can't wait to see you guys again. But today, as my dad was saying, we're continuing in our collection of talks on talking about living a counter-cultural life. And today, what I preach is a challenge for me. I think it's a challenge for everyone because it's so unlike our culture to slow down and rest. But if you have a Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. If you don't have it, it's going to be on the screens behind me. We're reading four verses today, and this is what it says. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I'll preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through me today and that you open the hearts of everyone watching online and here in person today and anyone who will watch throughout the week. Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us uniquely and that, Lord, you'll speak through me in a powerful way. We're so grateful for everything you've done for us. In your name, amen. Amen. So I started my sophomore year of college this week. And it was one of those weeks where it was just then this thing, then this thing, then this thing, then this thing. So we're all online. So it kind of felt throughout the week it was this Zoom call, then this Zoom call, then this Zoom call, then I'm preparing for the message, and then I'm house-sitting for a family, and then I'm going to water some plants for a family in town. So it kind of felt like it was just a then, go, go, go week. But there's something worse than a busy, jam-packed schedule. And that's a hurried, jam-packed soul. We see that Jesus, he had a busy, full life on earth. Before we read these verses, the first 34 verses talk about what he was doing. So first, Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. Then he goes into the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by the devil while fasting. And then he calls his first disciples. And then he goes to Capernaum to cast out evil spirits. And then he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, which some of you are thinking, why would anyone ever want that kid? And then he heals various diseases and then casts out even more evil spirits. But we see that Jesus had a busy schedule, but we see that he didn't have a busy soul. Psalms 127:2 says this, "It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to those, to his loved ones." So we live in a world, we live in a culture where it's go, 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 hurry, 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 make the most money I can, work 24/7, hashtag no days off. But we see in the scripture, some of you might think, oh, that means work is bad. No, it says it's useless for you to work so hard early morning, late at night. So I want to say a word over you guys, some of you guys. Get a job. It is healthy for us to have a job. It's not healthy for us to work so hard early morning to late at night. But we see that When I believe when we work so hard, it affects our relationship with Jesus. That's why we see Jesus in this passage go to a silent place of solitude. A lot of us, we want to have just one day a week on Sunday for 80 minutes, and we're good for the week with our relationship with Jesus. That's not true. We need to continue to pour in. I know in my life, if I only spent time with my parents for 80 minutes a week, that we wouldn't have a healthy relationship. My dad might be okay with that. But it's not healthy for our relationship with Jesus. But today we're talking about silence and solitude. And Henry Nouwen put it this way. Without solitude, it's virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and to listen to Him. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 through 18 says this, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Pause real quick. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is in Journey Church today, and there is freedom. So if you're struggling with something, there's bond. He breaks change. There is freedom because of the Spirit of God. If you're watching online, because of the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is freedom. But verse 18 says this, "So all of us who have the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." Now, I wish I could wake up one morning and say, "I want a six-pack," and then go to bed and then wake up and the next morning and have a six-pack. But we all know that doesn't work like that. What does it take us going to the gym? We're doing ab workouts, eating healthy. I think a lot of us, we want to become more like Jesus, but we only spend it. We think we'll wake up and be more like Him. That's what Henry Nouwen says. It's virtually impossible to have a healthy relationship without a silence and solitude. We need to practice. We need to go into that silence and solitude to become more and more like Jesus. James 1, 22 through 23 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the world and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." That's why silence and solitude is so important, because we grow in our relationship. The Bible is telling us, Jesus says He wants a rich and satisfying life for us. We can't just get that one day out of the week. It's a daily commitment. It's continuing going to the gym, going to our quiet place to grow. But I think there's two reasons why people might not feel like they can have time in silence and solitude. And one is because they feel like they don't have enough time. They're like, "Oh, well, I'm too busy throughout the day." Some stats are that the average American spends 5 hours on their phone a day and 4 hours watching TV. So that's a full-time job that everyone is doing. I like what Big Sean says. All this time they put into social media, they could have wrote an encyclopedia. So we're wasting time, and we think we're so busy, but we need to make that commitment. Just like when you work out, you take a chunk out of your day to work out. I think we as a church need to take a time out to be with God. But also, I think another thing is because we don't like to be alone with ourselves. And a lot of these ideas are from Pastor John Mark Comer in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's the next book I want my dad to read after Tuesday with Maury. So if you want to join the Nolan Bechtel Book Club, I think it's about $15 on Amazon. But I'm kidding. But a lot of these ideas are coming from his book today. But he says it this way. "The human condition is bent to do everything it can to avoid emotional pain and therefore avoid silence and solitude." But he defines silence and solitude this way. John Mark, he says, "Silence and solitude, intentional time in the quiet to be alone with ourselves and God." I think it's interesting that we see in Scripture that Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. And what's the Sabbath? The Sabbath is when we stop, when we're not in a hurry, where we don't work, we take a whole day off to honor God. So I think when we take time to stop, He'll heal our souls. He'll heal that sickness maybe. There's something called hurry sickness, where it's not good for our bodies and our souls. I think when we stop, we're healed from that. But also, if you think of a time at a funeral or just a moment of silence, why are those so powerful? Because you have to stop and reflect on that person's life, on the good memories you had with that person. But Henry Nouwen says this on why it's the most important spiritual discipline. If you don't set aside time to be alone with God, your relationship will wither on the vine. That's pretty convicting, because if we don't spend time, our relationship's not going to be where it's at. So I think there's four things that happen when we spend time with God. And I think the first thing is that he gives us our identity. How many of you have been to a loud place before? Man, you guys need to get out some more. But if you ever go to a sporting event, if you're playing in a sporting event or even sitting in the crowd, I know when I used to play basketball, whenever I had to get a play or if the crowd was loud, you would have to lean in to hear what the coach said. If you're standing this far away, I can't hear what he's trying to communicate, what the coach is trying to communicate to us, because the noise, the stadium is so loud. I think that's a great picture of our lives. Culture is so loud. We're listening to what culture has to say, but we need to lean in to hear what God speaks over us. I think the first thing that God shows us and speaks to us is our identity. When we listen to the crowd, it drowns out the voice of God. So what does culture say about us? How does culture define us? Culture defines us as not enough. Maybe you're not good enough at your job, not enough money, not good looking enough, not enough followers on Instagram. You can name it. Culture says we're not enough. But God, when we lean in and listen to him, he says we're more than enough. We're God's children. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made in his image. Me and you are a royal priest, holy nation. We're God's very own special possession. And when we don't listen to that, we get lost. That's when mental illness comes in, because we don't know our identity. But another thing that God speaks to us is our value. John 3:16 says this, "For this is how God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That's one of the things I loved about Miami and love about Miami is that the diversity. Also, I'm starting English too this semester, so pray for me. You can tell I'm not the best at English, so pray for me this semester. But is the diversity, I just love it there. And you see people that look different from me, speak a different language than me, taller, shorter, even different skin color. But everyone has value. It's because Christ died for everyone. Everyone is made in his image. We are valuable because Christ died for us. But maybe you don't feel like you have value. Maybe you feel like you've lost your value because of what someone said or what mistakes you've made in the past. But that couldn't be further from the truth today, Journey Church. You have value because Christ died. He speaks over you. He's made you. I want to say six words that could change the course of your life, that you are loved, you have value. I hope we get to understand that we are loved, that we are valuable, that we have so much value. But I think God is showing us our calling. I think everyone wants to know their calling, right? I know for me, I feel called to be a pastor, but I didn't just start running and listening to the crowd noise. I had to stop to be alone with God. It's pretty encouraging that God has made us all uniquely different too. My calling's not the same calling as Aaron's. My calling's not the same as my dad's or my mom's. God has each uniquely gifted us. Do you believe that, Journey Church? We need to get rowdy in this place today. But me and my roommates, it's funny because Ryan, he's called to Seattle. I'm not. I love Seattle. I'm not called there. Christian, he's usually the life of the party. I'm usually not. I'm usually the guy that just hangs around and talks to people. But we all are called to be uniquely different. And when we compare, that kills our contentment. So we need to stop comparing, listen to God, stop listening to culture. I think also when we lean into God, he gives us revelation. I know there's been times in my silence and solitude where maybe it's a scripture that I don't understand, but he'll just open it up to me and reveal it to me. I think that's so powerful. John 10:10 says this. It's a great verse. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So we see that the devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we don't spend time with God, the devil steals our joy, kills our identity, and will destroy our relationship with God and others. But also when we spend time in silence and solitude, I believe that it gives us power. It gives us power. We see Jesus after the 40 days in the wilderness. A lot of us would be tired because we've been tempted and we've been fasted for 40 days. So a lot of us would think that Jesus would be tired. But actually, that was the height of his power because he's been with God. He's been with the Father. He's been getting filled up because when we spend time with God, it gives us power. It's also interesting that Jesus, before going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't just say, oh man, I got to go to the cross. No, he spent time with his Father and prayed. He spent time with his Father and prayed, and he got that power to die on the cross for you and I's sins. So I want to challenge you guys this week. If you're going into something hard, might be an interview, starting school again this week. But if you're going into a challenging week, I pray that you guys will try to just say, hey, Lord, kind of like how Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, say, Lord, like, this is going to be a hard thing, but I know that you're with me, that you're calling me to this. This is what you have planned for me. Also, when we don't spend time with silence and solitude, just like I was saying, if I have a hurried schedule, my soul's going to get hurried. What happens when your soul's hurried? You get stressed out, anxious, and me personally, I feel bad for my dad because he usually gets the butt end of this as I start snapping at people when I get stressed and worried. But what happens if we went into our jobs? If I went into conversation with my dad while I'm stressed out, I'm just saying, Lord, just give me power not to snap, not to get upset at the smallest things. What happens if we went into the job? Hey, this coworker, he really frustrates me. Just help me to give power and help me to love them like you love them, Jesus. In VU College, we're talking about winning the day. Winning the day. So what does winning the day look like? JD, the college leader, if you're watching, JD, I love you, man. But he's talking about winning the day, and that's just spending in the morning reading the word and spending time with Jesus. We win the day because I believe when we spend time with Jesus, we become more like him. My mom always say, you are who you hang out with. And when you're hanging out with Jesus, you're going to become more like Jesus. But also my mom, she always had these great one-liners. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. So what is something that you guys want to break? Maybe you just keep swearing. Say, I want to stop swearing. Well, what music are you listening to? Maybe you're struggling with lustful thoughts. Well, what are you watching today, Journey Church? Because what you put in, you get out. You spend time with Jesus, you're going to get the fruits of the Spirit out. So what are you guys putting in? I think when you do this, people say, why are you so kind? Why are you so patient? Why are you smiling all the time? And like Buddy Elf, smiling's my favorite. But I think it's because we've won the day and people will see that we are in relationship with Jesus. I think the third thing that happens when we're in silence and solitude is that it gives us rest. Matthew 11:28-30 says this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I think a lot of us try to find rest in different ways. Maybe, I know for me, I could watch a season of TV in a day, but that's not true rest for my soul. Maybe some of us, we need to go party. We just got to do this, do that to find rest. But that's not the soul rest that we need. So how many of you guys love a great night's rest? I'm a big 8 hours a night guy. If I don't get 8 hours a night, I might be snapping at my dad again. But Jesus, he gives us that soul rest that we need, where we just feel energized and ready to go. Come on, how many of us need that soul rest today? I know this week when I had that then schedule, that I was like, okay, Lord, just give me rest, because I don't know if I can do another Zoom call. But I was watching a YouTube video this week about a guy trying the Leonardo da Vinci schedule, the great Leonardo da Vinci. And let me tell you, that schedule is insane. He would do something called the Uberman sleep cycle, 20-minute naps every 4 hours. So he's only, that's like 120 minutes a day. I'm not good at math. I'm not taking math this semester. But anyways, he would do the Uberman sleep cycle. And I'm not suggesting this for our physical body, because the guy who did it in the video only lasted 36 hours. But I want to suggest this for our spiritual lives, that maybe after every 4 hours, maybe you can't do 20 minutes right away. Maybe it's, hey, I just need to spend a minute alone with the Lord, saying, Lord, give me strength throughout the rest of the day. Maybe it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Maybe it's half an hour, but just spending time alone with God throughout the day to give us power and give us our souls rest. Maybe you're going into that meeting or interview you're scared for, just stopping at the door and saying, Lord, give me rest. Give me your power. Help me to say the right things. I think that'll change not just your situation, but it'll change you going into that situation. So for me personally, my daily schedule looks a little different. I wake up, I read about my word for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then I just sit in silence and solitude for 20 minutes. And that can be hard, because my brain is always going. It's like, okay, well, where am I at right now? But I want to challenge you guys this week to win the day. Do the Uberman sleep cycle. Well, the Bechtold soul cycle. But I want to challenge you guys this week to spend time with the Father. And shout out to the Gillises watching. Your sauna has been beautiful for this. But the GOAT, Mother Teresa, said this to Henry Nouwen. She said this: spend 1 hour each day in adoration of our Lord, of your Lord, and never do anything you know is wrong. Follow this and you'll be fine. Isn't that sweet and simple? I think a lot of us are doing the second part, don't do anything wrong. But I think your life will change when you spend, maybe it's not an hour right away, maybe you just need to build up, but when we spend time with God, everything, we'll be fine, we'll be fine. But also, when we spend silence and solitude with God, we get to know God's heart. Right now in America, right now, even in Wisconsin and Minnesota, we're living in a divided state, a divided country. And God's heart is for unity. Jesus prays this prayer: I pray that you will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. So Jesus is praying for unity. I think it's sad that Dr. Martin Luther King would say some of the most segregated days were on Sunday, because there's a white church, a black church, but that's not God's heart. God wants us to be unified. A lot of us are, not a lot of us. We all are going into election year, and I think that's a difficult place to be, because we have people on one side and one people on the other. And I think it's sad that as a church, the capital C church, as Journey Church, that we can't find unity with people that believe different than us. I think it's sad that we bash other people, we bash the president because we don't believe in what he believes in. But I want to challenge us. Scripture tells us, Paul tells Timothy, his apprentice, to pray for the kings, pray for the people in leadership. You might not agree, but guess what? God's put them in that leadership. So pray for them. I know that's a challenge, but God, He's put us there. Only 45 people have ever done the job of being the president of the United States. So I believe there's still going to be a learning curve. So what would it look like if we prayed for the person in office this year? What would it look like if we prayed for whoever wins this election? I think it will change America and also change our hearts. I think the devil isn't afraid of a big church. I don't think he cares how big Journey Church gets or how big it is right now, but he's afraid of a united church because nothing can stop a united church. Especially in Wisconsin and Minnesota, things that happened this week, we see unity even in culture. What happens if as a church we're saying, hey, no, we believe that even though they might look different than us, even though their skin color is different than us, we believe that they have value. What would that look like in Minnesota? What would it look like in River Falls if we did that? I think it'll change our city. Jesus says they'll know us by our love. When people come into Journey Church, what are they feeling? Are they feeling, oh, they're judgmental, like what I preached about a month or two ago? No, they'll know us by our love. And I think when we're in unity together, it's okay to fight, but fight fair with each other. Me and my dad, we get in arguments, but that doesn't mean we aren't in unity. That just means we're growing together. As iron sharpens iron, there's friction when iron sharpens iron, but we're getting sharper together. We're not fighting against each other, we're fighting for each other. And I believe that as we go out in our community, I want to be a person that fights for people. I want to be a person that fights for people, not that is, oh, you are voting for this person? No, I can't even associate with you. That's sad that some of us believe like that, but God wants us to be in unity. And when we spend time in silence and solitude, we get to know more of God's heart. And God's heart is for people. So at Journey Church, we're going to fight for people. We're going to fight for people in the city, for college students, from kids that might not even know how to talk yet. We're fighting for these people because they have value. As at Journey Church, we say every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't know the love of Jesus. We're going to give you that opportunity to make that life-changing decision right now. So if everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes, I'm going to count to three. And on three, if you want to make that decision, or if you're watching online in your room, you can just lift your hand. So on three, if you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, you can just lift your hand. One, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins on that cross on Calvary. Two, Jesus forgives our past, present, and future sins. And three, if you want to make that decision, you can just lift your hands today, watching online, here in the service. No one's looking around, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit, move in this place, move online. I pray that people will have an encounter with you. So let's pray together. I see your guys' hands today. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that we're so thankful that you encountered these people today, Lord. I pray that they'll get connected here at Journey Church, that we'll give them the resources they need to have a healthy relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that we'll all spend time in silence and solitude. Lord, I pray that we'll grow deeper in our relationship with you, Father. I pray that your heart will be our heart, Father. Father, I pray that our heart will be flesh heart. Heart of flesh, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for everyone that made that decision here and online, that, Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll keep them, that you'll protect them, Father. We're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to share the gospel. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use Journey Church to go out into the darkness of River Falls, Hudson, Lord, and that we'll be a light to people, that there'll be unity in this church, Lord. Lord, I know when we're unified, there's nothing that can stand against us. So Lord, I just pray that we'll fight for unity today. Lord, we're so thankful for you and everything you've done. In your name, amen. Well, Journey Church, Pastor Mike is going to come up and close us out.
Do us a favor, if you can just get some music with just music alone, no lyrics. What I want to do is, we got a few minutes, and I want to us to practice what Nolan preached, because I want to let you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 2 about what he talked about. I don't practice solitude and silence. I got a noisy life. And I really believe I'm missing out on a lot of what God has because of that. I don't say that with pride. I say that with brokenness and knowing that I've fallen short in this area. What would it be for us to take 2 minutes? And for some of us, that's going to seem like an awkward eternity. And I just want you, if you have to move away from the person on your right or left, and you, if you want to come and kneel at the altar, if you want to stand, and I want us just to take, we're going to take 2 minutes. And I just want you to just, don't even ask for anything, but just keep your ears and keep your heart open and let God speak to you. Let God fill you up. This is a huge message today that Nolan shared with us today. This is so big. It's so anti-Western culture. Folks, I really believe we got to get this right. So I want to encourage you this week, take a little baby step. I'm not going to move into Mother Teresa realm this week with an hour, but can I move into 5 minutes? One of the things Nolan did this week is he turned off his phone one night at 8 p.m., not turning it on again till noon. Could we do that? You're like, no way. But something that's going to remove, what could you do to remove noise so God can speak to your soul? So I just want to encourage you with that today. What can you do to remove noise so God can speak to your soul? What can you do to slow down? This John Mark Comer, one of the things he does is he picks the longest line in the grocery store. Why? To slow down. And we just need to slow down. So God speak to us in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen.